Welcome back to the OU Shnei Mikra Project and our study of Parshat Va'era. This is Menachem Liptag, and in today's show we study Revi, the fourth Aliyah. Beginning in Perek Zayin, Pasachet, chapter 7, verse 8. Vayomer Adonai Moshe ve'el Aaron lemor. God now commands Moshe and Aaron as follows. Ki yedaber alechem paro lemor, du lechem mofet. Should Paro speak to you the next time you go to him? Remember, God just commanded Moshe and Aaron to go to Paro and demand that he let Bnei Yisrael serve him in the desert. So should Paro ask you, give me a sign or a wonder, prove to me that this God exists. V'amarte el Aaron, then I want you to tell Aaron, kach et matcha, take your staff. Most commentators explain, Aaron is supposed to take Moshe Rabbeinu's staff. V'ashlech lifnei Paro yehi letanin. Cast it before Paro, it will turn into a tanin. What does tanin mean? Is it some type of sea monster? Is it a viper? Is it a serpent? It's very difficult to know. For the sake of the shiur, we're simply going to call it a tanin, and soon I'm going to explain why I'm not going to translate it, but leave it as the word tanin. Vayavom Moshe ve'Aaron el Paro. Moshe and Aaron go to Paro. Vayasuchen. And they did exactly that. Kasher tzi ba'adunai. Vayashleich Aaron et Mateo. Lifnei Paro v'lifnei avadav. Vayihi letanin. Aaron cast out his staff in front of Paro, and in front of all Paro's servants, and it turned into a tanin. Vayikra gam Paro lachachamim v'lamachashvim, v'yasu gam heim chartumei Mitzrayim v'latem ken. Paro called his wise men and his magicians to see if they could do the same thing, and sure enough, they were able to do the same thing with their magic. V'yashlichu ish mateo v'yu letaninim, but v'yivla matea Aaron et matotam. The staff of Aaron swallowed up the staffs of the magicians. Despite this sign, v'chazak le'paro, Paro's heart was hardened, v'lo shama lehem, he didn't listen to them, kasher diber Adonai, just as God said he would. I'm not going to deal with the question of how these magicians of Paro were able to do something so similar to what God told Aaron to do. It might have been some type of witchcraft, maybe something God allowed them to do to try to mislead them. What I'd like to talk about is why Chumash uses the word tanin in relation to Paro, where earlier, in the beginning of chapter 4, when Moshe Rabbeinu asked God, I need a sign for my people of Israel. How are they going to know for sure that it was the God of their forefathers that appeared to me? How are they going to believe me that indeed you spoke to me? Back in chapter 4, the first sign that God gave Moshe Rabbeinu, God told Moshe to cast his staff down and it will turn into a nahash, which is translated as a serpent. The similarity between these two signs causes many commentators to explain that the sign or the miracle that God tells Moshe Rabbeinu in the beginning of chapter 4, is the same thing that we're talking about now in chapter 7. But there's a very important difference. The sign, or in Hebrew the word oath, that God is giving Moshe Rabbeinu in the beginning of chapter 4 is an oath or a sign for Am Yisrael. What's being described here in chapter 7 in our Aliyah is a mofet, or a wonder, whose purpose is to convince Paro that I'm God. If Chumash is deliberately using two different words, to Am Yisrael it's an oath, which is an achash, and to Paro, it's a mofet, a wonder, where the staff turns into a tanin. For the reader of Chumash, I think this distinction is important. Because these same two words, we find much earlier in Chumash, in the story of creation. Recall that in the first chapter of creation, on day 5, when God creates all living things, they were told in Perek Aleph, Pasach Chaf Aleph, Vayivra Elohim et hataninim hagdolim. And then later on in the story of Gan Eden, in chapter 3, where the Nahash challenges Adam HaRishon and his wife Chava to see if they're going to be obedient to God's command. I'd like to suggest a very simple reason for why Chumash uses the word tanin in relation to Paro and uses the word nachash in relation to Bnei Yisrael. Back in chapter 4, Moses' question was, why will Bnei Yisrael believe that God appeared to me? The people of Israel believe in God. They know that he exists. The question is, did he appear to Moshe Rabbeinu? They need an oath, a sign, not that God exists, but that indeed God appeared to Moshe and gave him these instructions. A nachash will remind us of the story of Gan Eden. And in the story of Gan Eden, the question isn't whether or not God exists. The question is whether or not we obey God and follow his commands. The nachash is a creature in Gan Eden that challenges man, should he follow the commandment of God or not? Recall that Moshe's primary mission to Bnei Israel is to get them not only to believe in God, but to be obedient and prepare themselves for redemption. In the imagery of the Gan Eden story, the use of a nachash is a very meaningful sign for Bnei Israel. In contrast, Paro doesn't believe in God at all. Moshe doesn't have to explain to Paro that God appeared to him. Rather, he has to explain to Paro that there is a God, that idol worship is wrong, and there is only one God. Therefore, the Mateh in front of Paro turns into a Tanin, which is a symbol of the first chapter of creation, which comes to explain to the reader of Chumash that there's only one creator, and the road of nature, which we perceive, is not a result of wars between gods and many gods, one of them being possibly the Tanin in ancient culture, but rather, one God created everything, even mighty sea creatures like the Taninim. Therefore, to Paro, he needs a mofet, a wonder, that God exists, and hence it turns into a Tanin, imagery from the first chapter of creation. To Bnei Yisrael, they need a sign that indeed God appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore the imagery will be a Nachash, the symbol from the story of Gan Eden. Let's continue now in Pasuk Yudalad. Vayomer Adonai Moshe, kaved le Paro me'ein l'shalach ha'am. God now tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Paro's heart is too heavy, and that's why he's not sending the people out. Now it's your job to convince him with the first plague. Lecha Paro baboker, go now to Paro in the morning, hinei yotzei ha'maima, in the morning he always goes out to the water, v'nitzavta likroto asfat ha'yor, you go to meet him on the banks of the Nile River, v'amateh asher nefach l'nachash tikach b'yadecha. And that staff that earlier turned into a serpent, to a nachash, back in chapter 4, take that staff with you. Pasuk Tetzayin, V'yamarta elav, tell Paro as follows, Adonai, Elohei ha'ivrim shlachani alecha lemor, Hashem, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to you saying, Shalach etami, send my people out, V'yavduni b'midbar, let them worship me in the desert. V'nei lo shamat ad ko, up until now, you did not listen to that command. Moshe had already gone to Paro in the beginning of chapter 5, before all the plagues began, with a very similar request. Then Paro said no and doubled the workload. Now Moshe makes the same request, but this time with a more specific warning. What is the warning this time? Ko amar Adonai, this is the word of God, Bezot teda ki ani Adonai, with this plague you will know that I am God, Hinei anochi makeh b'mateh asher b'yadi, I'm going to strike with this staff that's in my hand, Al ha'mayim asher b'yor v'nefchu l'dam, I'm going to strike the water in the Nile River and it's going to turn into blood. V'adaga asher b'yor tamut u'vash ha'yor, all the fish in the river will die, and the river will become polluted, that the Egyptians will not be able to drink the water from the Nile. There's a major question here, which we'll have to deal with in tomorrow's shir, since it's a shorter aliyah. Why is God demanding from Paro to let the people go to the desert to serve God a distance of 3 days? Why can't he simply demand from Paro to let the people go? That is a very important question. Again, we're going to dedicate tomorrow's shir to deal with that properly. Let's continue now with the story of the first plague. Pasuk Yetet, Vayomer Adonai Moshe. God now commands Moshe, Emor el Aaron, kach matcha unte yadcha memei Mitzrayim, tell Aaron to take his staff and stretch it out over all the waters of Egypt, which includes al naharotam, al yorehem, v'yal agamehem, b'kol mikveh memehem, all the rivers, including the Nile, all the different lakes, and any reservoir collecting water, v'yu dam, and all that water will turn into blood. V'ayah dam, b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, uveitzim uveavanim, in order that there will be blood in all of Egypt, even in wooden vessels or stone vessels that contain water, that water will turn into blood as well. V'yasuchein Moshe v'Aaron kasher tziva Adonai. Moshe and Aaron did as God had commanded. V'yar b'mateh, Aaron lifted up the staff. V'yachet amayim asher b'yor l'nei Paro. He smit the water in the Nile in front of the eyes of Paro. U'l'nei avadav, in the eyes of his servants. V'yavchu kol hamayim asher b'yor l'dam. And all the water and the Nile turned into blood. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, V'adaga asher b'yor meta v'yivash ha'yor. So all the fish in the river, they all died, and the Nile was polluted. V'lo yechlu Mitzrayim l'shtot mayim min ha'yor. And now the Egyptians couldn't drink water from their main water source from the Nile River. V'yi hadam b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. Therefore there was blood in all of Egypt. V'yasuchein chartumei Mitzrayim b'latehem. Nonetheless, the magicians of Egypt were able to do something very similar with their witchcraft. And thus God hardened the heart of Paro, and he didn't listen to them. In other words, he didn't send the people out to worship their God, just as God had told Moshe earlier in the beginning of chapter 7 that Paro would not listen to all these wonders. Paro turned away and went back to his palace, and his heart did not pay heed to this sign as well. Because there was no water to drink, all the Egyptian people dug around the Nile looking for water to drink. Because they weren't able to drink the water from the river. Now the question is, were they able to find water by digging around the Nile? Or when they dug for water around the Nile, did that water also turn into blood? It's not quite clear, but the simple reading of the pasuk seems to indicate that they were able to find regular water by digging around the Yor, even though the water in the Nile itself had been polluted. It seems from this pasuk that indeed they found water there. In fact, Eben Ezra explains that that's how the magicians were able to turn water into blood as well. If all the water in Egypt turned into blood, how could the Chartumim do the same thing? So he says that only the water that people could see turned into blood, but the underground water was still regular. That was the water that other people were able to drink. He explains even the children of Israel suffer from the same problems. His opinion is that the first three plagues plagued all of Egypt, including the Hebrews. By Malei Shivat Yamim, Achrei Akot Adonai Te'or, 7 days passed by after God had brought this plague on the Nile. It's not clear if for 7 days the water remained full of blood, or took 7 days for this pollution to be cleared up, or possibly the plague might have been 1 day, but God waited another 7 days before he brought another plague. There are many different opinions. The most accepted opinion in the Parshanim is that each plague took place for 1 week, and then there were 3 weeks of warning and preparation for the next plague, and this whole process of the plague took approximately a year. But Eben Ezra points out that only this plague lasted for 7 days, and all the other plagues were much shorter. It could be that the main point that the Psukim were coming to explain, and we'll see this over and over again, is Chumash is giving the reason why is it that Paro is able to harden his heart. Either the magicians are able to do something similar, or because after a certain amount of time, they go away and things go back to normal. God always gives Paro a reason for why he'll harden his heart and not let the people go serve their God. Pasuk Chavav. Vayomer Adonai Moshe bo el Paro. Now God tells Moshe to go to Paro. Yamarte elav kol ma Adonai shlach tami v'yavduni. Warn him as follows, this is the word of God, let my people go and serve me, which implies, as we saw before, to serve me in the desert, a 3-day distance, as Moshe asked in the very opening time when he went to Paro. We're going to see a pattern now, which is going to repeat itself 3 times. The first time, Moshe is supposed to go to the Nile River early in the morning and meet Paro by the water. The second time, God tells Moshe, go to Paro, which implies go to his palace. And in the third plague, we're going to see there won't be a warning at all. And that pattern will repeat itself 3 times. Pasuk Chav Zayin, now we get the warning. V'im ma'ein ata l'shalach, if this time you refuse to send my people out, hinei anochi nogef et kol gvucha batzvardim, I'm going to bring a plague against all of your borders with frogs. Pasuk Chav Chet, v'sharatz hayor tzvardim, the entire Nile will be swarming with frogs. V'alu, they're going to come up from the Nile. U'bo b'veitecha, and they're going to come into your houses. U'v'chadar mishkavcha, v'amitatecha, they'll even make it all the way into the bedrooms and onto your beds. Not only in the houses of the nobility of Egypt, also in the houses of all your servants and your people. And in your ovens and all your other various baking utensils. And against you and your people and all of your servants, the frogs will come up. That was the warning, and now the plague will actually take place, as God will now command Moshe in the beginning of chapter 8, Pasuk Aleph. V'yomer Adonai Moshe, emor el Aaron, God tells Moshe, say now to Aaron, nete et yedcha b'matecha, stretch out your hand with your staff, al hanaharot, al hayorim v'al hagamim, on all the rivers, and on the Nile, and all the lakes, v'hal et hatzvardim, al eretz Mitzrayim, and cause the frogs to come up over all of Egypt. V'yet Aaron et yedo, Aaron stretches out his hand, and the tzvardea, notice the singular, there's a beautiful drash that there was one big tzvardea, one big frog, and they covered all of Egypt. What's very interesting, and we see this over and over again in the plagues, God commands Moshe to tell Aaron to stretch out his hand with the staff, and when Aaron actually does the plague, it simply says that Aaron stretched out his hand and doesn't mention the staff. It would make much more sense that Aaron actually used the staff as God commanded. However, the Psukim want to give the reader the understanding that it's not the staff, which is magic, that's doing the Makot. It's God that's doing the Makot. The staff is simply a sign that this is an extended hand of God. But by alternating between the command and its execution, one time mentioning the Mateh and the next time not mentioning the Mateh, it could be that's the way to explain to the reader that it's God doing the plague and not the magic staff itself. Pasuk Gimel, Vayasuchein achartumim belatehem. Again, the magicians are able to do this with their witchcraft. They were also able to cause frogs to come out over Egypt. Pasuk Dalet, Vayikra Paro Moshe ul'Aaron. After this terrible plague, Paro calls to Moshe and Aaron. Vayomer hatiru el Adonai. Go, please pray to me, to God. Vayesar tzvardim mimeni umiyami. Pray to God that he will take away these plague of frogs from me and from my people. Then I'll let the people go in order that they can bring offerings to their God. Recall that the only thing that Moshe asked for is to allow the people to go a 3-day distance into the desert to serve their God. So now Paro, for the first time, gives in. The next pasuk, pasuk hey, is very interesting and can be understood in two different manners. Vayomer Moshe leParo hitpa'er elai. Moshe now, in response to Paro's request that he daven to get rid of the frogs, as many commentators and translations explain, Moshe tells Paro now, you pick the date for me. In other words, I'm going to glorify you, and you get to pick when the plague will stop. L'matay atir lecha, to what date should I pray for you, for lavadecha, ulamcha, for you and your servants and your people, lachrit at tzvardim, mimcha mimatecha, rak bayor tisharna, for me to get rid of all the frogs from you and from your homes, so they would only go back to the Nile. Tell me what day to pray for, and I'll pray accordingly. And Paro answers, l'machar. Paro says, okay, tomorrow. V'emre kidvarecha. Moshe says, as you say, l'man teda, in order that you will know, ki ein kadonai Eloheinu, that there's no one like our God. In other words, Moshe seems to be telling Paro, I will glorify you. You get to pick the date. Tell me when you want this plague to stop. Paro says, I want it to stop by tomorrow. And Moshe tells Paro, tomorrow it will be, and this will help you realize how great God is. Chizkuni offers a different direction, and Moshe's question is, not when will the plague stop, but rather, when will you let them go? In other words, Moshe tells Paro, I'm willing to pray, but you tell me when you're going to send my people out. And if you agree to a date for when you will send my people out, then I'll pray for you and stop the frogs. According to his explanation, Paro answers, tomorrow. In other words, pray today, and I'll let them out tomorrow. And Moshe agrees to the deal and says, Kidvarecha. In other words, I'm going to pray and I'll stop the frogs, and tomorrow you let the people go out and worship their God. How the plague of the frogs will end, we'll see in tomorrow's Aliyah when we study Chamishi.